Today in the Chokeslam Wrestling Report, we're going to go through the wrestling news and rumors of the week. Of course, we're going to be talking the big story is that Cody Rhodes signed with WWE 10 to 14 days ago. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to talk about Tony Khan and Ring of Honor Supercard coming up. And we're going to have AEW Dynamite and Rampage review, plus a little bit of the NWA Crockett Cup results that happened yesterday. We're going to have that and much more on the Chokeslam Wrestling Report.
Here we go.
Hit the music.
Welcome to another Chokeslam Wrestling Report. I am your host, the infamous Ultimate One, coming from you from New York City on a beautiful day out here on a Sunday. I'd rather be out there feeding the birds right now and whatnot, just relaxing. I mean, but that I have a commitment to my fans here on the Chokeslam Wrestling Report podcast to give you the latest of the stuff that's going on in professional wrestling. Of course, this past week, we saw the passing of the bad guy, Razor Ramon, Scott Hall. And I did a video on my YouTube channel celebrating the life of course, Big Scott Hall. And like I said on that video, no Scott Hall, no NWO, no Bullet Club today. Scott Hall, again, was a pioneer of, you know, of the guy who, with him, Kevin Nash, and Hulk Hogan, raised wrestling from the ashes. Because in the 90s, and we could talk about 93, 95, WWE and WCW were supposedly going head-to-head, but wrestling was on its lowest point because, of course, you know, we saw all the stuff going on as far as between 93 and 95. We saw Hulk Hogan leave WWF to go to WCW, brought all his cronies to WCW and try to make WCW look like WWF, bringing in Brutus Beefcake, Earthquake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. The Macho Man ended up coming in at the late 94, 95. And, of course, the guy who was dominating WCW during that time was Big Van Vader, and they played him. So, you know, it wasn't until, you know, Eric Bischoff decided to go and bring Monday Nitro into the mix to compete with Monday Night Raw that we saw all the changes and the wrestling universe changing little by little. But it wasn't until that night of May of 1996 when Scott Hall went through the crowd and went and interrupted a match and said, and I quote, "You good guys know who I am, but you do not know why I'm here. You want a war? You got one." And everybody thought that Scott Hall was still, the, you know, working for WWF at that time. I mean, WWF was pissed off about that because then they brought on Kevin Nash and made a scene. WCW made it seem like Kevin Nash and Scott Hall were working with WWE at that time, or WWF, you want to call it. But again, after that, it was history, and Scott Hall was one of those guys that was part of that history. They brought, again, wrestling out of the ashes and brought it to the big time and whatnot. I mean, WCW made so much money with the NWO. But, of course, you know, everything gets watered down, and that's when everything happens. Of course, let's not forget Scott Hall. It was the man also responsible for one of the best WrestleMania matches in history, which is him and Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 10, in the ladder match. And that was a great, great match for the Intercontinental Championship. And we saw Razor Ramon, become one of the greatest wrestlers of all time in the WWF. Of course, you know, he went on to go to WCW, do the NWO, You know, unfortunately, he passed this past Monday after suffering three heart attacks a week ago. And as of Sunday of last week, he was on life support. And then Monday, Kevin Nash made the announcement to the family where already had made up their mind that they're going to take him off life support. There was a lot of confusion in social media, like always. There were people already saying, rest in peace, Scott Hall, when he was still alive. I know X-Pac, Sean Waltman, came out and said he's not dead yet. They say once they took him out of the life support, he still lived for another 4 hours. And they also show you Scott Hall, even in his weakest moment, he was still fighting and whatnot. And, he was one guy that, no one can forget about him at all. He made a difference. Of course, rest in peace, Scott Hall. And, we could always say his little quote. He always says, hard work pays off. Dreams come true. Bad times don't last, but bad guys do. And, of course, that's one of his speeches from the Hall of Fame. He is a two-time Hall of Famer, four-time Intercontinental Champion. WCW, I don't know how many times he wore those tag team belts along with Kevin Nash as the outsider. But as you guys see that he was, a champion, overall champion. This guy, not only that, he was AWA tag team champion along with Kurt Hennig. A lot of people don't talk about that. And when he came into wrestling, he came in with Danny Spivey as part of the American Starship. He was known as Coyotes. Danny Spivey was called Eagle. Dusty Rhodes had a lot to do with him starting off in the NWA. Of course, Scott Hall went to Japan the first time, wrestled a lot of the guys like Shinya Hashimoto, Masahiro Chono, Muda. He wrestled all those guys out there. So this guy, like I said, he was being well-known. I mean, he came in AWA, Vern Gagne, who owned the AWA, tried to make him the next Hulk Hogan. Of course, Gagne dropped the ball with Hogan when Hogan was in the AWA before he became the big-time name in WWF. So he tried to use Scott Hall. They even called him Scott Magnum, Mark Magnum Hall, some name there. I mean, but, again, he was a pioneer in the wrestling industry, a guy who knew psychology in the ring, how to tell a story, and he will be greatly missed, definitely greatly missed. So. Right now, hey, yo, Scott Hall, rest in peace, my brother. The next story I'm going to bring up is the story that's been running around rampant for the last, since February 15th, and that's Cody Rhodes. Now, this past Monday, of course, they made it seem like, the news media, the social media, all this, was talking about that Cody Rhodes was going to show up at Jacksonville. Now, at first, I said to myself, maybe they didn't pull the trigger because of what happened in Scott Hall, whatever. But there was no Cody Rhodes at Monday Night Raw this past Monday. But reports came in, I believe was either Saturday or Sunday, Saturday or Friday, where they claimed that Cody Rhodes already has signed with WWE. Now, we know for a fact that they were not going to bring him in and throw him in no storyline, because if they do that, that will make no sense. And of course, WWE doesn't make sense half of the time, but we don't know, why would they even do that? But now there's word that his debut may be in night one or night two of WrestleMania. Now, and most likely he will be wrestling, Mr. Seth Rollins. According to people, they're saying that Seth Rollins may have turned babyface. I mean, I don't know what to call it. I mean, this story has been around the last 3 weeks, almost a month. Everybody talking about, is Cody Rhodes coming to WWE or this and that? At this point, and this may sound a little bit ignorant, but at this point, I don't care. I just don't care. You know what I'm saying? They did put some tweet out last Monday night, where Cody Rhodes said, keep your eyes on the TV tonight. I don't know what he meant with that. Then Brandi Rhodes had put something on Twitter talking about Mondays are fun days. So when I saw those two tweets, one, they were trolling the fans. Two, they're playing all these social media people and trying to get one over the social media. People are going to find out regardless. There are feeders out there. There's people going to go because they want to be the first one to get the scoop and all that. But this word now that he signed 10 days to 14 days ago. So that was like 2 weeks ago. So basically, he signed probably a week after he left AEW. And, of course, the WWE Universe won. Oh, like Cody Rhodes. If Cody Rhodes shows up at Jacksonville, that's a big plus for WWE. At the end of the day, this is how ignorant people are. They think because they'll get Cody Rhodes on their side, WWE, that's a big victory for WWE. What kind of victory is it that you went and took one of the EVPs and went up there, you know, running AEW, but at the same time, if you think about it, you have a guy who is all about him. Because at the end of the day, if you look at it, that was an asshole move that he did. Okay? Because if you think about it, this is the same guy 2 years ago or 3 years ago that did double or nothing, grabbed a sledgehammer, and broke a lookalike throne that Triple H had. See, people tend to forget stuff like that. Okay, this is the same guy who was trying to bring down WWE, and he thought that AEW was going to be all about him. He was the one who's going to bring AEW down to WWE to his knees and all that. And to me, the more I see this, the more I'm putting everything together and it's showing that this guy, he came to us as a guy who wanted to be just like his father, okay? But unlike his father would look out for the next talent and make sure that the company was on point. I never heard anything bad about Dusty Rhodes. I hear some things here and there, but nothing that will tarnish his Hall of Fame career, okay? I just saw a video of Dusty Rhodes on his Hall of Fame speech and said that he had a 7-day marathon with one of the greatest wrestlers in the world. And he was talking about Ric Flair. He said, who is the guy that I'm having this 7-day marathon wrestling them for a week? And it was Ric Flair. He always looked out for the next wrestler. I just finished talking about, so he pushed Scott Hall against NWA when he was part of the American Starship. Cody is nothing like his father. He has a lot of passion like his father as far as when it comes to promos and all that. But I think when he was in AEW, he was thinking about him. He went and tried to test the waters of Hollywood instead of making sure that AEW was good. Even though he probably felt, well, you know, you got the Darby Allins, you got the Sammy Guevara, you got Jungle Boy, and you got MJF. Those are the foundation of AEW, but you're the guy, main guy there, that's besides Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, that you got to make sure that this is solid, that they are solid. But if you think about 2021, he really didn't do anything in 2021. He was trying to push Anthony Ogogo, which was a bust. He tried to push the whole Lee Johnson, a bust. Okay. Camarado, a bust. So he tried to push all these guys, and he didn't do anything. He wasn't wrestling the same. I don't know if he lost the passion, but he was not wrestling the same. It wasn't until the end of the year last year when he started his feud with Sammy Guevara, or actually with House of Black, Malakai Black, where people started bullying him. They started seeing for what he was. He was an egotistical guy who was thinking about him only. And that started off in the pandemic when he went, instead of him letting Lance Archer win the TNT belt, he put the TNT belt on himself. And then he beat Warlord. He gave Warlord his first loss. I mean, I could do a bunch of rundown. Even on Christmas time of last year, he beat Sammy. Well, we all know he should have not beaten Sammy. He should have never beaten Sammy. And by then, he already had his contract was expired. But he was doing things. So that goes to show you. So now if he's in WWE, he's not going to be. They give him, creative freedom, I'll be surprised. But let's be realistic. People forget that this is the same guy who was trying to bring down WWE. Now all of a sudden, everybody, oh, I hope he shows up in Jacksonville so he could stick it to AEW. That goes to show you that these fans, they get Alzheimer's and they forget shit. You know what I'm saying? And now I'm gonna go and shout out. At this point, I don't care where Cody goes now. Because I'm one, you go to WWE, I'm not going to follow you no more. I mean, when AJ came there, I had high hopes for AJ to wrestle a lot of guys. And he's done great. He has so many good matches in there. But now, he's going to fight Edge. Do I really want to see him fight Edge? I don't care. I don't care, really. I don't care. Because at this point, you know, I have a feeling that Edge is going to end up beating AJ Styles. Because Edge got creative control. He does. He does have creative control. You know? It's crazy. But it is what it is. So, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens if he shows up at WrestleMania. We'll be right back with more.
The Pro Wrestling Vault. 35 short stories, including Harley Race, Ricky Morton, Tracy Smothers, and Tim Storm. Along with 300 photos from the independent scene. Taken from Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. Get your book today by going to WrestleVille.com or LanceByChance.com. WrestleVille, it's where wrestling lives.
And we're back. So we're going to talk about Ring of Honor and the Supercard that's supposed to be coming up. Supercard of Honor coming up April 1st, I believe. So Tony Khan spoke about this, and he said that it will take place despite being against AEW Rampage. So basically, it's going to be on a Friday. So he said that he will not change it because the people who were running Ring of Honor made that date, and people have bought tickets already. So already, if you guys remember this, that I think I brought this up either on my YouTube channel or on my audio podcast, where I said that the only match that was signed was the Ring of Honor World Title match, unification match, if you call it, because it's going to be Bandido versus Jonathan Gresham. Now, remember, let me give you a little reminder that back in December of 2021, final battle was supposed to be Bandido versus Jonathan Gresham, but Bandido got caught with the COVID. Now, Bandido was the Ring of Honor World Champion and still is, fortunately, because he still holds the regular title. But when Bandido wasn't able to make it for that title match, they put Jay Lethal versus Jonathan Gresham, and they brought out the old Ring of Honor World title that's been around for 20 years. And Jonathan Gresham has been defending that belt everywhere and whatnot. While Bandido's still holding at the original, not the original, but the second title, or probably, I don't know, what version is it? But the latest version of the Ring of Honor World title. So the Supercard of Honor was set up somewhere, I think it was in February, when, remember, Ring of Honor took a hiatus. They said they were going to come back in March, but then they announced the Ring of Honor Supercard for April. Their first match already set up was Bandido versus Jonathan Gresham to unify the Ring of Honor World titles. And, of course, we didn't know if that Ring of Honor was going to be bought right away. I mean, it was since October of last year, they've been talking about the sale of Ring of Honor. Remember, St. Clair Broadcast owned Ring of Honor, but they only had the library from, I believe, 2012 to recently, 2021 or whatever it is. They don't have the 2002 to 2012. So that's owned by someone else, according. I don't know if Khan bought that too. But then, you know, word came around that WWE did talk to Broadcast Sinclair, Sinclair Broadcasting, to buy the library, but that didn't go nowhere. And they're not going nowhere. So, of course, Tony Khan went and made his move, which is a smart move, because if you think about it, he decided to buy it because Ring of Honor in their library has All In, that big event that happened back, I believe it was 2017 or 18, one of those, was Cody made a promise that he was going to make a event that was going to fill 10,000 people. And now at that time, it wasn't done since the WCW days, besides WWF. So all of a sudden now, here comes Tony Khan, he ends up buying it, and now Ring of Honor Supercard was up in the air. The Briscoes were scheduled to defend the World Tag Team titles in that. And they also been around defending their tag team belts. They just recently defended those belts at House of Glory, where the Briscoes became the House of Glory Tag Team Champions. They put it title versus title. But with that being said, Khan goes and buys it. Now, word was, okay, so the Briscoes are in it. Who are they going to wrestle? Now, it's been months that the Briscoes have been calling out FTR. So when FTR showed up at Final Battle to confront the Briscoes, well, it's official. Tony Khan has made it official. It's going to be the Briscoes for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team title. We'll be defending those belts against FTR. So that's another match included. So apparently, this is going to be happening on the same night that Rampage is going on. Of course, he had to ask permission for Warner Media to have this match because, you know, again, this was already scheduled for Friday. So when he bought the company, already you had people already had bought tickets and whatnot for this. So, you know, he did say, and I'm going to say this, he'll have AEW stars will appear at Ring of Honor Supercard. Now, I don't know what all the other matches he's going to have there, but as of right now, we don't know. But I'm definitely going to check it out. I'm definitely going to check out Ring of Honor Supercard, see how great it is and whatnot. So that would be cool to check it out. Also, AEW News, Joey Janela says he never hurt Hangman Page. And Page says it's nothing but love and respect. This is coming from people saying that probably Tony Khan got tired of Joey Janela hurting people in the ring. He was careless. I did not know that he was the one responsible for breaking Eddie Kingston or fracturing Eddie Kingston's orbital bone. So now all of a sudden, it looks like Joey Janela is getting the backlash from fans saying, oh, well, you know what? We don't need you in AEW. You could go because you hurt people, whatever. So he pretty much said that he never hurt Hangman Page. Page, in response, said it's nothing but love and respect. So, I mean, it happens in the wrestling business and whatnot. You know, you could, I mean, we saw a couple of weeks ago where supposedly Ridge Holland went for over the head belly suplex and Big E landed on his neck. We don't know if he's going to wrestle again. So there's word that he may never wrestle again. But, you know, things happen. So, you know, it is what it is. Also, Kenny Omega is recovering from knee surgery. He is scheduled for hernia surgery soon. Most likely, this man is not going to be wrestling no time soon. Maybe in the middle, probably after June, because he's still recovering from other stuff. He has so many injuries. I mean, he's been wrestling injured since 2018. So the top dad, he had vertical, he had knee problems. He had a lot of stuff. So he's recuperating, and good thing that he is, you know, doing the things he's doing. But while he's hurt, he's been pretty much been praised by people in the back because Kenny Omega is still doing his EVP role. He's doing all this stuff behind the scenes. So that's why you see, I guess, you see all this stuff going on in AEW that's pretty good. And I mean, that women's match this week was a banger. I mean, they took it to another limit between her and Britt Baker, Rosa and Britt Baker, but it's crazy. But you know, it is what it is. So Kenny Omega getting a lot of love out of all this. There's reports that 2022 AEW Double Nothing sets a record already. And this is for largest North American non-WWE gate in history, which means Double or Nothing has sold 12,939 tickets already and has made the total gate of 1,145,000 thus far. There are only 585 tickets left to be sold despite the event being well over 2 months away still. So, I mean, they haven't even booked a card yet. They haven't booked a card. And they already almost sold out Double or Nothing. They only have 585 tickets more to sell. Now, well, I'm not going to go here and go like, oh, well, this is why WWE. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. But it goes to show you that while WWE right now is losing fans because they are only pretty much, I mean, it's a wrestling business. You're gonna go for money. That's the business for. You want to make money, but when you're too busy trying to make partnerships with companies just to make money, you don't care about the product, you don't care about your fan base, and you're only thinking about making money. Okay, because in reality, WWE is not making money as far as revenue from arenas, you know, live gates. They're not making money out of that because a lot of people are not showing up. This has been the problem since, I believe, since they started doing live shows, especially here in New York. They should be outselling these Barclays Center and Madison Square Garden. They're not doing that, okay? And people right away were like, oh, but, you know, they want to talk about how much WWE is making money. Okay, they're making money, but it's like I said, they're making money out of revenue, ad revenues, their business with other companies. What you got to understand is, let's say a company called, I don't know, Joe Schmo, wants to have WWE as a working partner, because they want to create something where the characters of the WWE characters or whatever on their product. Of course, WWE is going to make money out of that. Of course, people are going to buy, you know, because they're familiar with it. But the people going to live gates, they ain't sell out the USB Arena or UBS Arena, whatever the hell is the name of Long Island. Didn't sell that out. And my point is that AEW cares about their fans. And by them caring about their fans, people are going to come see them live. Here we are in Vegas. Already, they're close to selling out the MGM Arena, close to selling it out. And it's 2 months away, and they haven't even had a main event. Who's going to wrestle? Who's in the buy-in? They're not mentioning none of that stuff, you know what I'm saying, at all. You know what I'm saying? They're not mentioning none of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it's just mind boggles me that when I bring stuff like that up, you know, people want to chew me out. Oh, you're a hater, whatever. Listen, when I say that this podcast brings facts. Some of you guys are blind. Your loyalty makes you blind. Because in reality, McMahon and his cronies do not care about their fan base. If they care about it, they won't come up with stories like what happened this past Monday night, supposedly Becky Lynch attacked Bianca Belair she put a chair on her neck. And now they're reporting this, making it seem like she's not going to be able to wrestle at WrestleMania. Didn't we see this with Sasha Banks? I think a couple of years ago, she came back and whatnot. A feud against Bayley. And also, there was something I saw this past Friday in SmackDown was WWE went into the vault of history. They took out a Stone Cold Steve Austin Vince McMahon feud storyline. It added it to this past Friday with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, now remember back when Austin and McMahon went feud, when Austin showed up with a cement truck and poured cement in Vince McMahon's Corvette. Well, this was something similar to that. It was like kind of a forklift like that Brock Lesnar was driving, and the Bloodline was in a car. He shoved the damn forks right through the windows. They picked up the car, shoved it over side, the side, and then they ended up going to the other truck. It was just, I said to myself, wow, what lazy booking. You're going to go and take something from almost close to 30 or 20-something years and tweak it a little bit, but now you, it's not Stone Cold Steve Austin, it's Brock Lesnar. Now, I know people are going to be like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Yes, I am. And again, you're in your bubble. You are loyal to the company, and you don't see what I see. I've been in this business or watching this business for 40-plus years, okay? I wasn't born yesterday. I just didn't start watching wrestling yesterday. I've been watching wrestling since Bruno Sammartino days. We're talking about the 70s. I've seen everything in the business, everything. So when I see stuff like this, I'm like, okay, they went lazy. They went and took out something from years ago. And that's exactly what I saw. But again, now, yes, AEW may probably do a little bit, WCW, whatever, but that shit that I saw Friday on Raw, now was it Raw SmackDown? I was like, look, Steve Austin and Vince McMahon. And after that, I just changed it. I didn't care. You know what I'm saying? Because right now, why should I give my attention and my time to WWE when WWE doesn't care about me as the fan, as the consumer? Because even their shirts and their product has sucked. Their t-shirts are garbage. I don't know who does the t-shirt, but it's not the same ones that were doing it back in the days. So it's crazy, but again, AEW is doing a lot of stuff going on. And of course, you got your haters, but it is what it is. We'll be right back with more Chokeslam Wrestling Report.
Hi, this is James Rodens from the WNR Podcast, and you are listening to the Chokeslam Wrestling Report.
Back, so we're going to talk a little bit of NWA news, plus we're going to talk a little bit also of Impact, what is going on with that. So let's start off first of all, last night they had the NWA Crockett Cup Night One. Of course, the Crockett Cup is known from back in the days. I didn't watch this because in reality I don't follow NWA. And for the reason, I think they still trying to bring that old school, you know, mentality. And I'm one that I don't like. In the NWA back in the days in the 1980s and 70s, where this was the shit. I'm not gonna lie. I'm one that listen, time goes by, things change, and you know, I accept changes. I'm not going to be the one to be like, oh, I like the way it was back in the days, and I'm not going to change, you know, my view on it. I like it. I'm going to stick to this. No, I look at other things that may do well for the business. Now, the way I look at it, the business today is a lot of people doing, like I said on my YouTube channel, that some people do too many spots that they're not supposed to be doing. And this goes with AEW, it goes with MLW, it goes with all these other promotions that do stuff you're not supposed to be doing, right? But anyway, I digress. So the NWA had the Crockett Cup last night. And Crockett Cup Night 1 results, and here are the results. Magic Jake Dumas defeat Captain Yuma. I don't know who the hell is that. Then they had the NWA Crockett Cup play-in match. They had Bad News Boys, Brandon Tate and Brent Tate. Defeat Violent is Forever, which is Kevin Cool and Dominic Guarini, who used to be at MLW, used to be part of Tom Lawler's Team Filthy back in the day. The Rip City Shooters, Joshua Bishop and Wes Barkley, and the Heat Seekers, Elliot Russell and Sigmund. So I guess that's those were the people that were involved in this Crockett Cup play-in match. So the NWA Crockett Cup first round, the Briscoe brothers defeated the Now, which is Vic Delicious and Hale Collins. I don't know about that Vic Delicious. Some of these cats, I don't know. The NWA Crocker Cup first round. Hawk Erie, Luke Hawks, and PJ Hawks defeated DN, Addison, and Paro. The Crocker Cup first round again. The Cardonuts, Mike Knox, and VSK defeated Matthew Memes and the Pope. The Dirty Sexy Boy, Dirty Dango, and I think that's Fandango, and JTG, who used to be part of Crime Time back in the day, defeated Aaron Stevens and the Blue Meanie. Gold Rush, Jordan Clearwater, and Marcy Rocket with BLKGs defeated Strictly Business and Tom Latimer and Chris Adonis. So I'm surprised that they beat them because Latimer and Chris Adonis were part of Nick Aldis group, and they look they look pretty jacked. They look like a good team there. I don't know. The Commonwealth Connection, Doug Williams and Harry Smith, and that is a British Bulldog Jr., David Boy Smith Jr., defeated El Begotten, Rush Freeman, and Alex Taylor, and then La Rebellion. Bestia Say, and Metro Wolf defeated the Bad News Boys, Brandon Tate. So then they had the Cardonas in the quarterfinals. Defeated Mike Knox and VSK, defeated the Fixers, Jay Bradley, Rick and Bull, Ligursky. And then another match from the quarterfinal, the Briscoes defeated Dirty Sexy Boy, Dirty Dango, and JTG. La Rebellion, Bestia Say, and Mecha Wolf defeated Hacks Erie. Of course, PJ competed by himself because supposedly Luke Hawks got injured in that match and he suffered a concussion. In night one, and I have the report here. Let's say Luke Hawk was injured in night one in Crockett Cup. Luke teamed with PJ Hawks to take out the end. Addison and Paro in the first round of the Crockett Cup. Fortunately, during the match, Luke suffered a concussion and was unable to compete in the second round. PJ went on losing to La Rebellion, Bestia CC, and Mecha Wolves. Luke wrote on Facebook, unfortunately, I did suffer a concussion tonight at the NWA in our first round match. If the Crockett Cup, I'm heartbroken. It really effing sucks because my friend and family know how much I love wrestling. PJ and myself have been looking forward to this opportunity for years, and now I have been pulled from the rest of the taping and pay-per-view for safety. I feel fine now, but I'm just heartbroken, disappointed. Sorry for those I let down. So it looks like when he will not compete at night two, which is, I believe it's tonight. So there you go, guys. So that right there, you know, that did not work. So then after that, the Commonwealth Connection of Duck Williams and David Boy Smith defeated Gold Rush, Jordan Clearwater, and Marshall Rocket in the same. So I guess tonight the second part would happen. So we'll see who wins that Crockett Cup. I'll have the Briscoe winning it all. That's the way I'm looking at this. So that could happen. Now let's talk about Impact. I caught up to a lot of the shows, and let's start off first. Good thing that Impact decided to bring back Mr. Josh Alexander. I saw the match between Alexander and Matt Taven. That, let me put it this way, that promo that Alexander had when Honor No More came in the ring and he told Matt Taven, you know, when you became world champion, Ring of Honor went under. Which, in a way, I don't agree with him on that, but it was a bad time for Matt Taven to be world champion. The Elite just has left, according also with Chris Danielson, Frank Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky. So when he became world champion, it was a bad time. You know what I'm saying? Even though he won the Ring of Honor world title in a place that a lot of wrestlers today wish they won the title, and that was in Madison Square Garden at the G1 Supercard of 2019 with New Japan. So he was in a situation that the company had went under. And then not only that, the Ring of Honor higher ups kind of screwed that up when they allowed Enzo and Cass to jump over the gate at Madison Square Garden in the middle of a four-way tag team that included was the PCO, I believe it was Brody King, the Gorillas of Destiny, Evil and Sonata, and the Briscoes. I think it was the Briscoes, if I'm correct. So it was just, you know, it was just crazy. So, and, you know, when that promo was done, I was like, wow, that was a shoot right there. So, but then they had the match, him and Matt Taven, which was pretty good. I just don't understand one part, and that's the PCO versus Jonah. Jonah is the rule breaker. But PCO, who's part of Honor No More, is getting cheered when Honor No More is supposed to be the bad guys. So that part, I don't get. But Jonah and PCO, that little feud is good. The Eddie Edwards situation, I love what's going on with that. But I see his wife joining him soon. So she'll be part of that group sooner or later. The fact that Eddie Edwards beat Rich Swann in the match. So that whole thing with Eddie Edwards, I mean, his promo about him, what he did, why he did what he did, was a great promo also. The tag team situation, again, the Gorillas of Destiny, of course, got the little revenge, I guess, if you want to call that. They paid for the little matchup where they were beating up the Good Brothers in the back before they left to Japan again. Because as you know, last Sunday, they got kicked out. Gorillas of Destiny got kicked out of Bullet Club after a match between Evil and Tama Tonga in the New Japan Cup. And next thing you know, you had the whole Bullet Club jumping. Tama Tonga, Tangaloa came in. He got ambushed. So this Yado. He got attacked. Those are by Ghetto. So, or Goto, whatever his name is. So it's just, that was good, but I believe, I mean, Impact did a very good job when it came to that betrayal by Jay White. I like the whole thing. I still think that with Jay White in Impact right now with Chris Bay, even though Chris Bay is one of the great X Division wrestler, I think he makes it a little bit weak. That's what he looked like. He's the weak link in the team. But that's the same thing saying that Tokyo Pimp is the weak link of Chase Owens is the weak link in Bullet Club. But, I mean, that's good. But Violent by Design winning the tag team titles, that's kind of old right now because they should have never lost the belt. But I understand the storyline on that. So, overall, I mean, Deonna Purrazzo, first of all, Deonna Purrazzo is, you know, a woman out there that right now should be going after the Knockouts title. But being that Tasha Steelz has the belt, that's a great move. Now, the thing that I don't like what they're doing there, how in the world, since when did Mickie James and the Inspiration are friends? I don't understand that. So, the other group, the Influencer, are the Knockouts tag team champions, right? Whatever his name is. The thing I don't get is this whole thing that Mickie James trying to protect Chelsea Green. You know, I see Chelsea Green turning on Mickie James when she gets another title shot at Tasha Steele. They are pushing Mickie James like she is like, I don't know. I don't like where they're going with Mickie James. Mickie James right now should not even be in the same sentence with Deonna Purrazzo. I'm sorry. That's the way I feel. Deonna Purrazzo right now is walking around with two championships, okay? But then again, Impact is pushing Mickie James to the end. And, you know, this is their way of, oh, maybe one day make WWE work with them again. No, okay? No. Then again, you got fooled. You got fooled because, in reality, WWE was use you just because they needed viewers for Day Woman's Royal Rumble, in case you haven't catched the drift yet. So that is it right now for this segment, because the Impact is, you ain't gonna believe this, but Impact is doing very good. They're doing very good. And if they keep on now with Rebellion, Rebellion, I think, is the next one. And this whole thing, if Rebellion is going to be good. So we'll see what happens and whatnot. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, what's going on? It's your boy, Jada Red Sante, host of Turnbuckle Tabloid, and you're listening to the Chokeslam Wrestling Report.
And we're back. So let's talk about AEW Dynamite and Rampage this week. You know, this week we saw in the AEW Dynamite the match that we were all waiting for, and that was St. Patrick's Slam, and we were waiting for that big match between Warlord versus Scorpio Sky. Plus, we saw the women's title match in a steel cage between Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker. So let's go. First of all, AEW St. Patrick's Slam started off with Adam Cole and Red Dragon versus Jurassic Express and Hangman Page. This match was fun, and this may start a war between Dark Order and Hangman Page. The reason I say that was because members of Dark Order thought that Hangman Page was going to use them to fight Adam Cole and the Red Dragon. Instead, he chose Jurassic Express. And, of course, Jungle Boy took the loss in this match. But I still think Red Dragon could get another title shot against the Jurassic Express down the line. But this match was very entertaining between both teams. They just went all out. Of course, Luchasaurus did what he does best. Of course, Jungle Boy did his moves and his stuff he did, but he was the one that they were concentrating on since he was the smaller guy in this match. But Mr. Adam Cole ended up pinning Jungle Boy again, should we say. I don't think Jungle Boy has even gotten a clean pin on Adam Cole since Adam Cole showed up at AEW. But again, I'm looking for probably the Dark Order costing. Check this out. When I'm playing fantasy booking, we can see the Dark Order costing Hangman Page's title maybe when he wrestles Adam Cole again. We can see it happening. And Adam Cole may win the AEW title, and he'll probably hold it until Kenny Omega comes back. Then we saw Judah and Chuck Taylor versus John Moxley and Bryan Danielson. And when I tell you these guys took a beating from Danielson and Moxley, bro, whew, it was a beatdown. But Yuta, was giving it to Danielson and Moxley, and I guess, William Regal was commentating, doing his thing, and William Regal slapped the bricks out of Yuta after the match, and I guess he probably was asking him if he could join him or whatever. But he slapped the bricks out of Yuta. So, and then Moxley and Danielson looked at it with a smile. And Yuta did not back down. So I could see Yuta being part of this group and then leaving Best Friend. Because Best Friend's not really doing nothing with him, to be honest. Yuta is way better than what you guys see on AEW. Sky wrestles in New Japan, wrestles in Ring of Honor. Great, great wrestler. But he's not given the opportunity at AEW. But he's not giving it an opportunity because it's a long story coming out of this, and I love it. I love it. FTR did a promo only to get interrupted by the Young Bucks. Are we going to see another Young Bucks versus FTR? And also, FTR, I don't think if they're happy there or whatever, but who knows. Acclaim got interrupted again by Team Taz, but got interrupted by Swerve Strickland. And this was a setup for Max Caster to face Keith Lee. Swerve Strickland kind of approached Ricky Starks, so that's going to be interesting. The Jericho Appreciation Society. I do not like this at all as a name. Now, the storyline behind it, Jericho is now playing off that he likes sports entertainment. So now it's going to be sports entertainment versus pro wrestling. Great storyline. I hope they do it good, but we'll see. We'll see. But I don't know what WWE fans think about this, but this is hilarious to me. Jericho probably pretty much giving it to your sports entertainment fans. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. This is going to be very interesting. He mentioned Kevin Owens. He just mentioned Kevin Owens by first name, Kevin. And, of course, Kevin Owens responded back at Twitter talking about, that's what best friends are for. They're kind of mocking him after the friendship festivity back in 2016 or 17, whatever it was. So then we had a TNT title match between Wardlow versus Scorpio Sky. Outside interference again early in the match from American Top Team. And then afterwards, Wardlow was going to get screwed in this match no matter what. I already saw that because then outside interference from Shawn Spears. I don't know where MJF comes out. They caused Wardlow the TNT belt. America's Top Team got a payoff from MJF after France Van Zandt, whatever her name is, her husband started attacking Wardlow, and then the Red then caused MJF went and did the hit him with the ring, not before Shawn Spears smacked the chair shot at Wardlow. So already you can see there was a payoff from MJF to team American Top Team to Dan Lambert. So I don't know where that's going to go. Jay Carhill now looking for a challenge. Do not be surprised if Athena, a.k.a. Amber Moon, shows up at AEW to challenge Jay Carhill. Private Party versus Hardy Boys. This match was the past versus the future. Even though I don't think Private Party has not, they have not done that well since they left House of Glory. They're there. They're still in the same spot. But it was a good match. The Adonis Army came out after the match when the Hardy Boys beat Private Party to attack the Hardy. But Sting and Darby came out for the save. Then we had the AEW Women title match in the steel cage match. Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker a year later, which it was both ladies started bleeding. The referee was taken out with Thunder hit her finishing move, but no referee. Air raid crashed by Baker on the chairs, which it was crazy. I mean, there was a stack of chairs that Britt Baker put in place, and then she just hit her air raid, crashed by Baker on the chairs. Actually, Baker got crashed on the chairs. Aubrey comes in, but it's only a two count. More chairs being built. Baker lands back first in a tower of chairs. It was just crazy. Thumbtacks was introduced in this match. Again, Thunder gets slammed onto them. The woman started screaming. Then Rosa slams Baker's hand on the thumbtack when she tried to put the lockjaw on Thunder Rosa. And after that, this was a crazy match. Rosa hit her Thunder Driver to become the AEW Women's Champion. Unbelievable. It was. She deserves it after all the trials and tribulations she went through in this match. So then we go to AEW Rampage. Darby versus the Butcher. Butcher was just dominating most of this match. He turned a clover leaf to a power bomb and then turned it again to a clover leaf. The Butcher was doing great. But the only thing I did not like about this was the ending of the match. That Darby was swung into the steps at one point, into the railing. Darby hits a cold red on the outside, including a coffin drop on Butcher. And Darby ends up winning by counter. Not something I was happy about. Aftermath, Andrade comes out with Private Party and Blade. They attack Sting and Darby. The Hardy comes out and they issue a challenge, an 8-man tornado tag for next Wednesday coming up. Afterwards, they had a Scorpio Sky promo. Then we had Layla Hirsch versus Red Velvet. This was a good match with both ladies going at it. But Hirsch tried to use, again, a buckle connector. Same thing she did to Chris Statlander. But Chris Statlander stopped her from using it, distracting her to get pinned by Red Velvet. Now, Statlander looked different. She had this black evil look, whatever. Is she the next one who's going to leave Best Friends? Because Best Friends has a lot of them. And it's time for that group to become. Bad Country and Fuego de Sol were challenged by the House of Black. Brody King caught Fuego in mid-air. I'm talking about mid-air and hit him with a forearm. Mid-air. And Fuego crashed like a little helicopter. So it was vicious. House of Black again, looking vicious. They beat the bricks out of one of the big country guys, the biggest one of them, and they just beat them like nothing. Penta did a promo saying that in the dark, that's why he does his work better. So we don't know where that's going to go. And then the main event was Max Caster versus Keith Lee. This match was fun to watch, but the end, Lee won the match and whatnot. But then Powerhouse Hobbs was in the rampway. He came down and started tussling up with Keith Lee. And then Starks got involved and the acclaimed quadruple team only onto Swirl Strickland comes in with a chair down to save Keith Lee. So there goes your AEW for this week. So overall, this week, the wrestling AEW did pretty well. I don't know what was the rating this week. They're doing pretty well, to be honest. And a lot of people don't like that because they never thought that AEW was going to be around still right now. They probably thought that they were going to be, they're probably going to fold by now, they weren't going to do anything, I don't know. So right now the AEW ratings was increased. The show fell 5 spots among the original cable program and still fell under 1 million average viewers. So I don't know how much they did. 945,000. Well, the March 16 rating for the Wednesday night show increased by almost 50,000 viewers on average, going from 945 to 993. So they went up by 50,000. That is notable since last week. Episodes saw a decline in overall viewership from the prior week. However, this week offered a far stiffer competition than NBA regular season game and the talking heads of Fox News. So, again, on Wednesday, AEW went up against two of the first four games of the NCAA basketball tournament. The two play-in games ended up taking two of the top three spots for the night. So they went against the NCAA. So that definitely is a problem. So Rampage, I could see Rampage probably going to have a low rating because this week Rampage started late because of the NCAA tournament. So it is what it is. But, but right now the biggest news with AEW is the fact that they're almost selling out Double or Nothing. They only need 585 tickets and they sold out. You know what I'm saying? And mind you, the MGA holds about 13,000 people in the MGM arena. So that's not bad. So you got to sell off 13,000 people, and they might add more seats around there, another 7,000 somewhere, if they could, add more. But again, it is good to be a professional wrestling fan. As far as this AEW stuff with Jericho now, with the Jericho Appreciation Society, I don't like that name at all. I don't. It sounds so corny. But the storyline behind it, the heat behind it, I remember listening to this, and I had my boy Jay Santee from the Turnbuckle Tabloid. I asked him, what do you think about the name and everything? He said, well, he's getting a lot of heat. The name, which I agree with him, because the name is, I find it cringe, to be honest. They could have came up with something else. But I think the reason he's doing that is because this is something that probably WWE would do, use that type of name or something. So, he did mention again the bad creative, which is hilarious. But the heat, they're playing that their sports entertainers are going to beat up pro wrestlers. We'll see where this is going to go. And this could be a big feud. This could be a big feud. Maybe end up in the cage match, which I hope they don't throw anybody from the top of the cage again, Bloods and Guts in May. That we can have that. But you're going to have to put five professional wrestlers to go after these guys. Because right now, Daniel Garcia is, I call him the next Zack Sabre Jr. Because Daniel Garcia can wrestle. Guy's no joke. So that doesn't make no sense to me why he's part of that. But it is what it is. But that is it for me today. For the Chokeslam Wrestling Report audio podcast. I want to thank everybody who has supported the podcast. either through audio or video. Okay, guys, I just put a YouTube video this past Saturday, I believe, Friday or Saturday. I think it was Friday, honoring Scott Hall. Letting everybody know how I felt and what he did in the business. So you guys want to check it out, hit that subscribe button on my YouTube channel. Hit that notification bell for new uploads. Hit that thumbs up so you can help the channel be found faster. You can also find me here on the audio podcast on Spotify. Spotify, Anchor, Amazon, Apple. I'm everywhere. Any major audio podcast that you guys can find me, I am there. Also, check out my store, merchandise store. That's tcwr.veryimpressive.com. That's tcwr.veryimpressive.com. This will help my podcast greatly and whatnot. And share with friends. Let everybody know about this podcast. I know I'm in the business of a lot of podcasts, but a lot of podcasts are not like mine. Okay, there are a couple of them that I could just say off the head right now that I respect big time. Of course, it's my boy Turbical Tabloid. I love them. I love WNR Podcast, who I'm part of. John Scott and then Jonas Podcast Network. These guys, they know what they're talking about. And you know what I'm saying? And this is the stuff, JD from New York. You know, I respect those podcasts because they talk facts. I just can't deal with podcasts that only deal with WWE and then live off WWE. And if you don't like what I'm saying, hey, facts are facts again. So that is it for me today, guys. I thank you very much for supporting the podcast, and I will see you guys next Sunday. Again, the Chokeslam Wrestling Report audio podcast every Sunday, and check it out on YouTube also. Have a good day. Hit the music.